Thank God for those songs about the blood. Amen. Saved. It's a blessing to be able to sing that and say that, knowing that it's true. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. That third verse talking about the great price of my pardon. The price that was paid. The Father's own Son. Amen. Thank God for Jesus being willing to go to Calvary and die in our place. Amen. Amen. If you got your Bible, turn with us, if you will, to Psalm number 71. Psalm number 71. The book of Psalms is a great book. You've heard it said before, and I've made a statement. I believe you'll find yourself somewhere in the Psalms. Your experience, whatever it is you're going through, you'll find it in the Psalms. Psalms is a great book of experience. It deals with emotion. You'll find your emotion in there somewhere. It deals with situations, and you'll find yourself there in the Psalms. And so it is a great book. And as I was studying and preparing for today, I couldn't help but think about this scare and all that's going on around us. And we were talking about it. Talking about it between the services. And Brother Hall made this statement. He's right. One of the biggest things is the unknown about this particular virus. And it's causing fear. Brother Philip said that he posted something, something about the, can you say that again? A government controls a people with fear. That is true. If they can make you fearful, they can control you. Amen. And I could just say a lot of things about that. I mentioned something in the prayer room. I've talked to my wife about it. And you can just see how easy. Amen. If, they're saying don't go to work in some places. They're saying, don't go in these crowds and all that kind of stuff. Joshua said that Wilkes County, the county we're from, declared it a state of emergency and asked for, did it make it mandatory? Mandatory, no gatherings over 100. But they exempted churches. So thank God for that. Amen. But anyway, it's fear. It's fear in the day we're living. I'm glad we have somebody to put our trust in. Amen. That we can trust in. Not just in the unknown, when things come that we know about, that I'm talking about are really drastic. We can trust our Lord. Look at Psalm 71, verse number 1. I'm going to read down through verse number 9. I'm just going to give an exposition of these verses and give you some thoughts. I don't have points, so to speak. Just look at these verses and give you some exposition. And the first phrase, first line in my Bible is what my title is. Here's my title. In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. That's the title of my sermon this morning. Look at Psalm 71, verse 1. In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in Thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline Thine ear unto me and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. By thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the days. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. Amen. I'm going to stop there. But this psalm, if you'd read the whole psalm, you'll find he goes back again talking about youth and talking about old age. And so he's dealing with from the womb to the tomb. He's dealing with that the whole life. Lord, you help me my whole life. That's what he's dealing with. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please? Yes. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Not to be given into it or paved into it or paved into the fear of it. Yes, Lord. Help us. The faith that we have in the Lord Jesus. Yes. I ask you now to bless the preacher this morning. You can help us. Preach the word of God. Help us, Lord. May you save sinners and Lord, we need you to bless yourself. Bless and strengthen your people in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you for standing. You can be seated. And I certainly do appreciate that prayer. Amen. Amen. By the way, remember, pray for Brother Shelby and Miss Louise. I haven't heard, Brother Hall asked, and we haven't heard anything from them. And normally they'd be here or let us know, so pray for them that God might be with them. This psalm that I read to you in hearing has no title. If you notice that, no title before it in our scripture. Psalm 70 has one. Psalm 72 has one. Most of the psalms, as a matter of fact, have a title, but this one doesn't. But they say that the Septuagint does have a title over Psalm 71, that the title of the Septuagint says, A Psalm of David, of the sons of Jonadab and the first captives. And they say that the sons of Jonadab particularly loved this psalm, and that the captives in Babylon continually resorted to this psalm. Whether or not it is a Psalm of David, I don't know. I'm going to say this, I'm not going to go to the Septuagint and try to correct my King James Bible. Amen. I'm not interested in that. I just thought that it was interesting that they said that it was the Psalm of David. Matter of fact, I look back, many of the old commentators, almost all the old commentators, say this is a Psalm of David. And I would tend to believe that it probably is. Matter of fact, if you look at Psalm 70, there's the heading to the chief musician, a Psalm of David to bring to remembrance. Psalm 72 has a heading, and it says a psalm for Solomon, but it is a psalm of David. If you look at the last verse of Psalm 72, I believe this will tell us that these psalms before this have been the psalms of David. The Bible said the prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. If you know, the psalms are broken down in five different books as to how that they break them down. This is the break, Psalm 72. Is the break of that book. That is the end of many of the Psalms of David. There are others that are listed. But I'm just simply saying that down through the years, commentators have agreed, and some have speculated, but most agree that these are the words of David. With that fact considered, I have no problem ascribing this Psalm to David and recognizing it does seem to match well with many of his other statements that he's made in the past. Amen. He talks a lot about trust in the Lord. Just for a sampling, in Psalm 7, verse 1, it's a Psalm of David. It says, O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me. Sounds very much like Psalm 71 and verses 1 through 9. Psalm 16, verse 1, a Psalm of David. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. Psalm 25, verse 2. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Now, that's just a sample. There's a number, I mean numerous psalms that deal with that phrase of putting our trust in the Lord. David knew something about that. Amen. Matter of fact, when David ran up against Goliath, David said, you come to me with all the armor, with all the weaponry, with all the ability. But he said, I come to you in the name of the Lord. He was putting his trust in Jehovah God to give him the victory. Amen. It's common in David's life. I could say that over and over. But there's also not only concern in trusting God, but concern in old age. David said in Psalm 37 and verse number 25, of saying we know very well, he said, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Amen. The psalmist knew something about trusting God as a young man, but he also knew something about trusting God as an older man. Amen. And so he made that statement in Psalm 37. I believe he's no doubt the same writer that's writing this statement in Psalm number 71. Allow me, if you will, just to give a brief overview of this chapter, and then I'll say some things about our present situation and then give you the outlook of these verses. But the overview of the chapter, verses 1 through 3, deal with a sufferer. He's suffering from the spite of wicked enemies, and he's praying for deliverance. Amen. He's praying for deliverance. Verses 4 through 8, he acknowledges God's goodness to him in his early life. Verses 9 through 13, he prays that it might be continued throughout his old age. Verses 14 through 21, he confidently anticipates an answer to his prayers. And then verses 22 through 24, he promises a suitable return of praise unto the Lord for his goodness. Amen. This psalm bears a strong resemblance to other psalms about the sufferings of the righteous as its great theme. The sufferings of the righteous. Psalm 22, Psalm 38, Psalm 35, Psalm 40. All those are psalms that deal with this same theme that this psalm is, is dealing with. And that is the theme of the suffering of the righteous at the hands of the wicked. Amen. And he's asking for deliverance. Well, my purpose, as I said, of preaching this psalm today is because of the widespread panic that seems to be gripping the United States and, matter of fact, the world. Amen. All the world over. When I first heard about it, initially I thought, well, they're just trying to destroy the economy because it's a political year. They always try to destroy the economy in a political year. It hurts the incumbent, whoever it is. Amen. And so they always try to do that. Well, it is doing that. But then I realize that's not why China's scared to death. That's not why Spain's in lockdown. Amen. That's not why these other nations are in lockdown. At least I don't think so, unless there's bigger collusion than we know about. But there's fear that's all the world over, but gripping the United States. COVID-19, they call it, or the coronavirus. It seems to be the virus seems to be sweeping across the world, originating seemingly in China. So far, people are panicking and exhibiting extreme levels of fear, I believe, because of the widespread media coverage and the reaction of politicians in our country and around the world. Amen. I say again, I believe their fear is because of widespread media coverage and reaction of politicians in our country around the world. Did you know that so far this year, as many people in the United States have died of coronavirus this whole year as died yesterday at the hands of a drunk driver? But they didn't tell it on the news. Amen. I've got several things that I'll say about that, because I looked up some of these statistics just to see what they say. But let me say, I go back, widespread media coverage and the action or overreaction by politicians. I personally don't trust either social media, major media, or the government for my information, amen, for accurate information, especially in an election year, amen, amen. I'm not saying we shouldn't take precautions, like wash your hands often. Amen. James Knox said this. He said a nation that needs their president to tell them to wash their hands after they go to the bathroom has bigger problems than a coronavirus. Wash your hands often. Be careful about touching things unnecessarily. Cover your mouth when you sneeze or cough. Shaking hands when you're greeting somebody. If you're fearful, I understand. That's fine. And there may need to be some precautions taken along these things. I know we should take precautions. By the way, I'm not saying you ought to go around licking doorknobs or toilet seats. Amen. I'm saying don't panic. use some common sense. Amen. My official statement about attending church services is really the same as I do in weather precautions. That is, if you're sick or feel unsafe, use your own discretion. Amen. If you don't feel safe, stay at home. Listen in to the radio. Get the best you can. But that's not any substitute for being there. I know that. But I am saying if you feel the need to stay at home, stay at home. If you're sick, stay at home. Amen. Now, I mentioned just in the announcements that our governor quickly came out and recommended that the churches in the state forego having services, thus to protect their people. I say to the government, how about recommend they shut down abortion clinics? How about recommend they shut down the casinos and the liquor stores and the bars and the line for the lottery tickets? Amen. 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 Video stores. But keep the church doors open. Amen. That is right. Amen. But if you don't feel safe coming to church, by all means, stay secluded in your house. Don't go to Walmart. Don't go to the supermarket. Don't go to the restaurant. Don't go to the movie theater. Amen. That's right. But if you're, surely there'll be more people there than there are in our little church building. I guarantee you that's right. Amen. Well, as of last night, I Googled two phrases initially. I Googled this phrase. How many people have died of the flu in the United States this year? I Googled the statement, how many coronaviruses or coronavirus cases in the U.S. this year? In answer to that first question, how many people died in the U.S. of flu this year, says that is the answer. So far, the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, has estimated, based on weekly influenza surveillance data, that at least 12,000 people have died of influenza this flu season. Now, that goes back to October 1st, and they stopped counting on February 1st of this year. So we've got a month more of information that we don't know about. But that's not just when you say this year. They deal the flu season starts in October. But they said they have confirmed at least 12,000 have died, and the CDC says the number of deaths may be as high as 30,000 people. That's according to the health.com. In answer to the second question, I got this answer. Quote, in the U.S., several states have declared states of emergency and several have made state-level decisions about travel and whether to gather. There have been more than 2,300 cases reported across the country. There have been about 50 people who have died from the virus across the country. That was as of 11 a.m. yesterday morning, reported in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution on beingnews.com. So as of 11 o'clock yesterday, 50 people have died. Now here's some more amazing statistics. Approximately 9 people are killed every day in the United States because of distracted driving. That's texting, talking on the phone, fooling with your radio, putting on makeup. Amen. Distracted driving. And because 9 people a day died in the United States on average, they've outlawed texting and talking on phones unless they're hands free. I mean, they really got serious about that because 9 people died per day. But I mentioned to you 30 people per day approximately are killed every day because of drunk driving. Last total that they have is in 2017, 10,874 people died because of drunk driving in 2017. That's from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. Amen. 10,874 died, and that comes from carinsurance.net, where that information comes from, both of those two, about the distracted driving and the drunk driving. But they're... And you say, well, they're not doing anything about drunk driving. Well, they're saying don't drink and drive, but they're still selling the booze. And most of them politicians still drinking the stuff. Amen. Amen. It is dangerous stuff. You're right. Amen. Here's another. Approximately 49 people are killed each year by lightning strike. So far, as many in the U.S. have died of coronavirus as have died of lightning strike on the average of a year. Between 30 and 50 people are killed each year because of dog bite in the United States. But they're not saying kill the dogs. Amen. They're not even saying quarantine the dogs. Amen. But the deaths because of coronavirus have almost caught up to the deaths because of dog bites. And I realize it's a year and we're early in the year. I understand those things. Let me say, these statements that I just made are not to be construed as belittling this new virus. I'm only giving these statistics to give us some perspective that we can put it in. The media does not tell us every time somebody dies of a dog bite. They may say a little something about lightning strike, but really they don't that much. They certainly don't say much about drunk driving killing people. Amen. They're not really promoting all that and saying, boy, we got to get the government together and figure out something to stop these drunk drivers. Amen. Well, I'm just trying to tell us, don't panic. Don't be filled with fear. Amen. I know this virus is new. It's unknown. Some things unknown about it. It is spreading. My dad said their doctor told them on Friday both of them would be in a compromised position if it was to come. But he told them, he said, but I really believe it's overblown. But he said this. He said one thing about it is that, like different colds or flus, we've all had them and we've developed some resistance to it. He said this is a new strain of this one that we don't have resistance to it yet. That's why there's fear and there's question. Plus the fact that it come from a foreign country. And by the way, one that's not friendly to the U.S. causes us some fear as well on those things. Amen. Amen. So I'm just telling us, don't panic, but put your trust in the Lord. Amen. I say this, and I don't say it facetiously, but we talk about how we trust God. We say, we trust God. Our coin says, in God we trust. Most of America is not calling on God because of the coronavirus. By the way, our president did proclaim today to be a day of prayer. Thank God. Amen. I could go on. It still bothers me, them politicians will be praying and drinking their beer and liquor at the same time. Cursing and running around. Amen. But at least they said pray, and we ought to be praying. Amen. We say in God we trust, but do we really? Or are we just hoping that doctors will soon find a cure? Or they'll find an immunization against this virus? Or are we really praying and trusting God? I'm not telling you to tempt God. I'm not telling you to be unreasonable. I'm just reminding us to trust God. Let me give you just one more little bit of information, a little bit of advice. Joshua talking about the preacher needs to warn and persuade. Might do you more good to read more of the good news from the good book than the bad news on Facebook. Amen. Or Fox News. Amen. Perhaps we should pray instead of worry. Amen. Lord, help us do that. Here's what the psalmist said. Now I'm looking at Psalm, verse number 1. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. I looked up all those different words that deals with eternity. That word never means throughout eternity. Let me never, ever, ever come into confusion. Amen. Be confounded. The idea is this. Under any circumstance, under anything that arises, under everything I've ever experienced or what I've never even thought of, Lord, don't let me wind up in a state of confusion. Amen. The psalmist is saying, Lord, I want to trust you at all times. I want to trust you in everything. I want to trust you come what may. That's what he's saying. Amen. He wants to trust God. This verse is a statement and a prayer. Look at it. It's a statement and a prayer. First of all, it's a statement about confidence. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. My confidence is in the Lord. I said I don't have confidence in social media or major media or the government to give us accurate information. Amen. But I trust the Bible to give me accurate information. I can trust the Lord to give me accurate information. Amen. And that's where our confidence is in the Lord. Amen. Secondly, there is a prayer against confusion. If you want an alliteration, confidence and confusion. There is a prayer against confusion. Let me never be put in confusion. The word translated, do I put my trust? It's all one Hebrew word. It's five words in English. Do I put my trust? That's one Hebrew word, Strong's number 2620. It is a primitive root word that means, quote, to flee for protection. He's a hiding place. Amen. Figuratively, it means to confide in. Amen. This word's translated 37 times in our King James Bible as have hope or make refuge or trust or put trust in. Amen. I'm glad I've got a hiding place. I've got a place where I can quarantine. Amen. I've got a place where I can seclude myself, and that is a place I can find confidence in, and that place is in the Lord. Amen. It carries the idea of a safe place to dwell. And it runs throughout this whole psalm, by the way. Verse number 1 just starts it off, in thee do I put my trust. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. The psalmist is declaring that he has confidence, that he has found a safe place to dwell in his God. Amen. Amen. As I said, it carries through this psalm, especially you'll see it in the other verses as we go on. The psalmist not only is making a statement, but he's given up a prayer. And by the way, David's life was a life of needing a safe place. Amen. When David's got them sheep out there in the wilderness or out there in the fields, and that lion roared, don't you know he'd like a safe place to be? That bear roared, he'd like a safe place to be. Amen. When Saul is seeking after him to take his life from him, David's hiding in caves and in dens, and he'd like a safe place to be. When Absalom's chasing after him, matter of fact, that's when most scholars believe this psalm was written, was when Absalom was chasing after him. And I'll say more about that as we get down there. I believe you can see it in the next set of verses. But he's looking for a safe place to dwell. Amen. He's praying for deliverance from fear. Not just a safe place, but fear. You can be in a safe place and still be filled with fear. And by the way, if fear controls you, that is an unsafe thing. You can hurt yourself. Amen. You can hurt yourself because of fear. Amen. The psalmist is praying for deliverance from fear. The word translated confusion, Strong's number 954, it means to be made ashamed. It means to be confounded or confused. Amen. So he's saying, Lord, don't let me ever be made ashamed of putting my trust in you. Don't let me ever be confounded for putting my trust in you. And don't let me wind up in confusion. So he's finding confidence, and he's looking for a cure from confusion by trusting in the Lord and praying to the Lord at the same time. By the way, you say, why would you pray unless you was worried? Yeah, but why would you pray unless you had trust in the Lord that he could do something? Amen. And prayer is not a lack of faith. Prayer is a step of faith. Amen. Prayer is an action of faith. Amen. Believe in God. That's why you'd go to God. Amen. Verses 2 through 4 go together, and I'll look at them together. He says, deliver me in thy righteousness. And by the way, that's the only reason he would deliver. It's not for our righteousness. It's for his. That's amen. I find my hope in his righteousness, not in my own. And cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked and out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. And by the way, you could dig in this. There's a lot of good things you could dig out of this. I don't have time. I'm just going to skim over these this morning. But notice verse number 2 mentions deliverance 3 times. He says, deliver me. He says, cause me to escape. And then again, he says, and save me. 3 times he mentions deliverance. I'd say that's pretty sure deliverance. Amen. That's deliverance yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Amen. That's deliverance past, present, and future. Amen. 3D deliverance. Amen. That he's asked for at the hand of God. I'm glad our God can deliver us. That is real deliverance. Amen. This man is certainly calling on God for help. He's in dire need. I'm glad we can call on the Lord when we're in dire need. Amen. We can trust Him. I think about those 3 Hebrew children getting ready to be thrown in that fiery furnace. Pharaoh's so mad at them because they won't bow. He says, I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you a second chance. They said, don't waste your time. Them fellas blowing the horn, don't waste your breath. He said, we're not going to bow. And they said, our God's going to deliver us. They said, we don't know if He'll deliver us in it or through it. Of course, I'm paraphrasing. They said, our God's going to deliver us. They're in imminent danger. They're in dire straits. They've heated that fire 7 times hotter than it was wont to be heated. It had never been known to be heated, and they'd heated it 7 times hotter than it had ever been known to be heated. Some people believe that furnace was for melting gold, to make that golden image that he just put up there. It'd be a hot furnace, especially when it's stoked up 7 times hotter. So hot that the mighty men that cast them in were consumed by the heat and by the flame. Amen. They're in dire need of some help. They said, we can trust God. He's going to deliver us either in it or through it. He'll deliver us. Amen. Amen. Thank God he did. And so here's a man in dire need. I'm glad we can call on God when we get in a time of dire need. Amen. There's a verse on down in here, and I don't have it marked. Let me see if I can see it right quick. He talks about God hurrying to help him. And verse number 12, oh God, be not far from me. Oh my God, make haste for my help. I started a sermon some time ago and never have worked it out. But just this, have you ever needed God and needed Him quick? That's what he said. He said, I need you, Lord, and I need you now. Amen. I need you quick. Make haste on my behalf. Amen. Verse number 3, he speaks of a safe place to hide or to quarantine, as we might say, under these circumstances. He says that he wants to hide in God, not just periodically, but continually. Amen. Not just hide in God today, but he wants to be hiding in God tomorrow and all the days after that. Amen. He said, I want to hide in God forever. He's talking about trusting God for eternity. Amen. But not just trusting God for eternity, but trusting God day by day for all time. Every day trusting God. Amen. I'm glad we can call on God at any time. I'm glad we have access to the throne of God. Amen. Amen. I read what Spurgeon said in his Treasury of David on this psalm, and his hints. He has, you know, the hints to the village preacher. He has all those different writers, and one of those commentators said this. I don't remember who he was. He said, talking about going to God, he said, we know the way to the door, and we have the key that lets us in. Amen. We have access to the throne of grace. Hallelujah. In a time of trouble, we can call on the Lord. Anytime we need God, we can call on God. We will find Him available at all times. Amen. Now, I might say and mean it. I might say, if you need me, call me anytime. But that doesn't mean that I'll always be available when you call. I want to be, and I want to make myself available. Amen. Brother Joe Bryant said, he said a lot of people don't mean what they say. He said a lot of preachers have got answering machines that say, your call is important to me. It says, I'm sorry I can't come to the phone right now, but your call is important to me. Leave your name and number and what time you called, and I'll get back to you as soon as possible. He said, not only are the preachers lying, they got answer machines lying for them. Amen. Sometimes we might say, all you got to do is call, but we don't necessarily mean it, but I'm glad our God is always on call. Amen. He that keepeth Israel neither slumbereth nor sleepeth. Amen. He's alert and awake at all times. And I'm glad we can call on him and he is available. Verse number 4 goes back to crying for deliverance. You see that again? I notice that he wants deliverance out of the hand of the wicked and out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. It appears to me when he says, deliver me out of his hand, it looks to me like he felt like that hand had a grip on him. He looked like he was in the hand or nearly in the hand of that wicked man that he is afraid of. Amen. He feels as if he's been captured by that hand or at least surrounded by that hand and he's in fear. I believe that this is talking about David's treatment at the hand of Absalom in his insurrection and then his attempt to overthrow David from his throne. When David fled, you remember that Ahithophel gave counsel that Absalom go on down there and attack and that he had him surrounded, he could defeat him. And by the way, that was good counsel. He probably, if it hadn't been for God, could have defeated David in that moment. Amen. But David's man gave more counsel, said, no, don't do that. And by the way, then he sent word and said, David, you better run or they're going to get you. Amen. David felt like, and maybe that's when this psalm was written, David felt like the hands of that wicked man was enclosing around him. And he's saying, oh God, deliver me out of the hand of the wicked. That word deliver me actually means free me. Pry the fingers off of me, Lord. Get me out of this mess. Free me. I'm already caught in the trap. Amen. The word wicked at Strong's number 7563. It means wrong, bad, condemned, guilty, and ungodly. That fits Absalom. Amen. Then the word unrighteous is Strong's number 5765. It means to distort, to deal unjustly or unrighteously. The word cruel, by the way, this is the only time this particular Hebrew word is used in our Bible. Cruel, Strong's number 2556. It means to be pungent to the taste, sour, or literally fermented. It carries the idea of one who causes the mind to be drunken or dazzled. That's in your Strong's Concordance. That's exactly what Absalom did. He was a cruel man that twisted the words and he said, oh, would to God I was king in Israel. And he won the hearts of the men of Israel. Amen. And he twisted their hearts away from his dad. He made their mind drunken, not thinking right. He dazzled their mind with his beauty and with his vain words. Amen. But I thought about how this fits with today in our modern media, this spread that's causing fear, creating havoc. It's causing people, their mind to be intoxicated, over information, too much of that information, and getting drunk on that information, too much false information, fermented information, sour information. Amen. Spreads fear and creating havoc. There are those who prey on such opportunities, by the way. Amen. I recognize that they're saying that the older people and people with some kind of sickness already are the ones that are compromised. They're the ones that are more likely to be hurt. Little children are saying not very susceptible to this virus, but they're carriers. They can be carriers of it. And so I understand, I'm glad they're shutting down the nursing homes. Thank God. Those places have enough trouble with cleanliness anyway. Amen. A lot of those places where they've got sickly people, hospitals and all those, amen, doctor's offices and things. Listen, if you don't have to be there, stay out of those places. Amen. I understand that, because there's sick people and there's a need there, but there's people that prey on that fear. By the way, they're already, these calls are calling, trying to take advantage of older people. You don't think that's going to pick up more because of this? Sure it is. They're going to try their best to prey on that fear and to try to attack because of that fear. We ought to pray for deliverance from the confusion. Amen. And pray for others in times like this, that God deliver them out of the hand of the wicked, the unrighteous, and the, what was it, the last word there? I lost my, cruel man. Yeah. By the way, that word cruel, it carries the idea of leavened. Leavened. It's got yeast, that's where the ferment comes in in the idea that he gives there. All right, verse number 5 through 7 goes together. I'm winding her down. If the coronavirus don't kill you, my long sermons will. Amen. Verse number 5 through 7. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. By thee have I been holding up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels, and or my praise shall be continually of thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. And just real quickly over this, I don't have a long time to spend on these next two sections. The psalmist reminds the Lord that he has been trusting God since his youth. He said, God, I've trusted you. Matter of fact, God was taking care of him before he knew to trust God. Amen. No doubt. His thoughts go all the way back to the provision God gave him when he faced that lion, when he faced that bear, when he faced Goliath. Amen. Thought about how that God had given him victory over all those things as a young man, as a youth. He said, thou art my hope, O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth. Amen. But then he goes on to report that God's the one that brought him out of the womb. Amen. God's the one that brought him out of the womb. By the way, that is the most vulnerable time in a person's life. Amen. That's the most vulnerable time in a person's life, when they are in their mother's womb. How in the world can that baby grow in the confines of another person's body? Amen. But God makes that baby grow. God gives that baby life. God does all those. I know, listen, there, you ladies, I'm not saying don't exercise. I'm not saying don't eat properly and all that kind of stuff. But I am saying to you that God's the one that causes that baby to take form and flourish. And David said, Lord, you was doing all that for me before I ever knew a thing. Thank God. Amen. He's showing the goodness of God. He was vulnerable, and yet God worked on his behalf. Amen. He knows it was God that gave him birth. He knows it was God that caused the miracle. He calls it a wonder here. A miracle of life. Amen. Every baby that's born is a miracle of life. Amen. Precious in the sight of God. Even those that are born because of incest or rape or other vile things. Amen. Amen. I know I've said it before, but I'm not for killing babies. I am for killing incestors. I am for killing rapists. Amen. Not babies. Amen. Well, it'd be good for us to remember how that God helped us in our needy hours, even when we didn't pray, even when we didn't know the Lord. Amen. Amen. He was there when we were weak. He was there when we were vulnerable. He was there when we were unable to help ourselves. Thank God, God was there. God helped us then. And the psalmist says, I'm trusting you to keep on helping me throughout my life. Amen. Verses 8 and 9 then move us on. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. Amen. He said, Lord, when I didn't have strength, he helped me. And I'm getting to another time when I don't have strength, when I am vulnerable, Lord, would you protect me? He said, God, you've been so faithful. You've been so good. I ought to praise you. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise. Amen. And with thy honor all the day. Amen. God's been so good to us, we ought to praise God all day, every day. Amen. God's been so good to us. God's been so faithful to us. Amen. God's grace has been so wondrous to us. We ought to praise him all day, every day. Amen. We ought to walk in confidence rather than in fear. Amen. We should praise God's goodness and his faithfulness rather than doubting him now. Amen. But the last verse, verse number 9, is where the psalmist seems to be saying, I'm no longer a young person. I'm no longer a strong man, but I've grown old and feeble. Amen. He says, cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. Amen. Amen. I know there are some, for example, some jobs that'll cast a man off when he gets old. Amen. There are some spouses that cast off their spouse when their spouse gets old. Amen. We'd say that's a sorry employer and a lousy spouse, wouldn't we? Amen. Can I tell you, if God forsakes us when we get old, He wouldn't be a good God. Amen. If God lets us off, lets us go, just casts us off because we get old and not able to do what we used to do, but all that, if he does that, listen, He's not a good God, but I'm glad our God is a good God. Our God won't forsake us when we get old. That's what He's saying here. He's saying, don't forsake me now. He's praying for God. God, I trusted you when I was young. Help me to trust you when I'm older. Amen. It says, though the psalmist cries out for God not to leave him to himself when he gets old, when his vitality has drained away. Amen. In conclusion, let me remind us, we need God every day we live in this world. Every day we live in this world, we need God. From the smallest child to the strongest adult to the weakest elderly person, I guess we'd say it that way. Amen. We need God every day that we live. We needed Him when we were in our mother's womb, couldn't help ourselves. We need Him as we were growing up. We need Him today, and we will need Him tomorrow. But I'm glad we've got a faithful God who's a very present help in need. Amen? Amen? Amen. These days of uncertainty, these days of confusion and fear, we need to be calling on God for help and for direction. Amen. We ought to pray for people that are sick. We ought to pray for people that are fearful. We ought to praise God for His deliverances in the past. We ought to ask Him for deliverance today. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed as they come with a song. Do you need to come pray? If you do, the altar's open. If you need to come, talk to the Lord. Lord, deliver us from these fearful days. Deliver us from these unsure times. Deliver us from this confusion. Let me not be confused. Let me not be confounded. Let me not be ashamed that I've trusted in Thee. Lord, help us that we would constantly call on You, look to You for our help. Thank You, Lord, for how You have helped. Lord, I pray if there's somebody here unsaved, there's nothing they can do in order to be saved, in order to save themselves. But Lord, I'm glad that they can trust You and You can save. Father, I pray You'd draw them. They'd repent and believe the gospel, be saved by the grace of God. Lord, I pray the saints be strengthened and encouraged in the things of God as well. We'll thank You in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Some come pray. Maybe you need to do the same. I want to give you an opportunity to do that while we sing this song.